Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, I'm Steph.
And I'm Simon.
And welcome to The Food Fight, where we offer a different perspective on food culture issues around Australia and the world.
We'll talk with chefs, producers, business owners and experts to hear their stories and find out what makes them tick.
This episode I speak with Yen Trong and Dan Bishop from An Chuk Chuk in Wollongong about how they built their business, how they run it, traditional Vietnamese food and how they've found their place in the Wollongong food community.
Thanks so much for joining me. Can you give us a bit of a background of An Chuk Chuk as a business, where it all started?
So it started on the beach in Coaldale, to be honest, at Sharky's Beach.
Yes, so I'm aware of that, yeah.
As a bit of a pop-up, really. It was at a point where Yen and I had got together as a couple, and I'd convinced her and her family, her children, to move down the coast with me. I'd lived here in the Illawarra for many years, but at that point in time I was between jobs. And so I'd met Yen and she was doing other things, not cooking, but it became pretty clear to me that she was a very good cook. And I thought, why don't we, you know, given that we're both looking for more work than we have, why don't we start a food business? Mm-hmm. So we popped up at Coaldale basically because I guess we wanted to avoid the whole market scene, which didn't really fit into the Chup Chup style. And so we just thought, bugger it, let's just start
have
selling
a crack
on the beach. And we had our food, you know, we had our food certificates, our health certificates, we had insurance, we had everything we needed. We just didn't want to go to the markets. Mm. So we'd done a few. We'd done the Coaldale market, which we enjoyed. We'd tried the Friday market, which was in Wollongong. And that, at that time, it had just changed hands from the guys who run the Coaldale market to the guys who run Forages market. Mm-hmm. So I guess there was a little bit of politics there as well. We just didn't feel like we fitted very well. Mm.
Yeah.
So we just decided to do it ourselves. And we started, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, I think was our first pitch, was to do it on Sunday afternoons. And no one knew we were there, of course. So,
how did you get people there on the first day?
We didn't.
Mouth to mouth.
Yeah, we didn't. And that's been the philosophy of An Chuk Chuk right from the beginning, is that word of mouth will bring people, and that we don't need advertising or slick campaigns or, you know, signs or neon lights or anything like that. We just need good food and a good atmosphere. And if we have that, then people will come and talk about us. And so that's what happened at Coaldale. The first couple of weeks were pretty disastrous from a business sense. But it spread pretty quickly and it grew pretty fast. Mm. And we moved it to a Friday night as a better time. And it grew pretty quickly into a bit of a scene happening. It was a great summer, actually, before it all came crashing down with the intervention of the Wollongong City Council, my current employer.
Can you tell me a little bit about the food offering at Coaldale when you first started?
Look, not too dissimilar to the restaurant in a sense, in that it was spontaneous, you know, it would change every week. We would do, you know, three or four set meals, you know, pretty much whatever we decided to do.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't as simplified. It wasn't, you know, too much more simple because, yeah, I guess in a market setting, I'm not sure. Like, well, it's not a market. I guess you can kind of doing whatever you want. So you can just keep doing whatever you want. It's great.
No, it wasn't simple. It actually took us many days of preparation.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And a hell of a, like, physically, it was quite hard for us as a small little family. You know, we had charcoal burners. You know, we did roast duck on the charcoal cookers, things we can't do now.
Yeah.
But we could do in the open air sort of thing. But it was pretty intense afternoon for us and very busy, you know. Probably the biggest days at Coaldale are probably twice the biggest days in Antwerp, the cafe.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah, it was massive and it would wear us out. And, of course, we'd have to go back and clean everything and, yeah, it was pretty exhausting.
Yeah, for sure.
But for one day, you know, it was kind of, it was pretty good business for one day.
Yeah, not bad. That's good.
No, it was still quite complicated. It was actually probably more prep for one meal than Yen does now.
So yeah, right.
If anything, the food is simpler now than what we were doing for that one event because it was only once a week that we were doing it.
Yeah, okay. And then so the intervention of the council happened, unfortunately, and you had to stop parking up on the beach in Coaldale and giving the community something there. How long was it between then and when you decided, okay, well, we're going to move into a space and we're going to make this a place that people can go every weekday at least?
It was pretty, it was quick really, because we invested already a lot of time and effort in, you know, getting the mobile business up and running for what it was. And when that shut down and we realised that in the circumstances around Wollongong, there just wasn't enough, there wasn't a real opportunity for us to make a business. If we were to stick with our own principles, there wasn't an opportunity to make a business from the mobile market scene.
Mm.
So we knew that the food was popular. So I guess that gave us the confidence to seek out a permanent home.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place we chose fell through and the second one came along, which is probably better in the long run. Came along and we grabbed it, and then it took obviously a couple of months with all the, you know, legal staff and the prep staff and getting ready, and then we opened. So it was pretty quick after, probably maybe 3 or 4 months, wasn't it, from the time we got closed down to the time we reopened.
But
there wasn't a great, to be honest, there wasn't a great association between what we did at Coaldale, which was a very northern suburbs centric enterprise, and opening in Wollongong. So,
you know, had to start the word of mouth over again.
Yeah, we did, essentially. And it didn't, you know, I don't think, you know, northern suburbs people aren't necessarily Wollongong people in many ways. So while a few people would have known and we've, you know, we certainly had a lot of early support from friends and people who knew us and what we were doing on Coaldale Beach, which were friends as well. And
the first day, we just get 200 or 300 per day.
Yeah. There were a lot of, in the first 12 months, there were a lot of days where it was hard to justify having a business.
Yes.
Well, rents in Wollongong and all that sort of stuff. You know, it was a high, and even though we're in a back of out of the way place, we're still paying CBD rents. So
okay, yeah, I'll pause now, and we'll just sort of backtrack a little bit before we talk about the evolution of Aan Chut Chut in its current space. Can you tell me a little bit, Yen, a bit about your background in food? How did you become a chef? How did you learn about food?
Actually, I'm not really a good cook, but I'm gourmet because I have two restaurants in Vietnam.
Okay.
In central of Vietnam, yeah. But I design the menu for the chef. I used to like that. I'm owner, so I just design everything, and the chef had to follow me. I design, this food should go with this herb or something, and the chef have to cook for me, and I taste. If that's good, I will put in the menu. But if not good, he had to do again.
Okay.
Until perfect, yeah. So I just know how to eat, how to taste. Not really good cook.
Where did you learn how to taste, like you say, and what good food was?
Oh, because that's my hobby. I love eating.
Yeah.
I always get sick because I eat too much. So I no trouble with my health, just except eat too much. And then because in Vietnam we we have a rich family, so I don't care about the cooking or do something. I just do business, and I have a lot of employees to help me to cook or do something else. But when I come here, and then I really be surprised when I try to cook, and I be surprised when I when the first time when I cook and invite Dan, and the second time invite him and his friends to eat my food, and like, oh, yummy, something like that, and then they give me really confident about my my cooking. And then so after that, I in Australia really different with Vietnam. I don't have anyone to help me cooking. I have to cook by myself to look after my children, and then I have to research how to cooking, and then with my experience in eating too much, and I know which one should go which one. Now I just rich research about the technique.
I can add to that as well. Yeah. So just to kind of break that open a little bit, Yen's history in Vietnam, the family's not in restaurants. But at a certain point in time, Yen decided that she wanted to open a restaurant in her village, in Nha Trang, the city of Nha Trang.
Okay. I've been to Nha Trang.
So her village is in sort of the inland, the western side of town, away from the beach, right? Mm-hmm. And decided
that I love country life.
Yeah, because she's a country girl, right? Mm. So she basically went against the family's wishes almost, and invested and built this traditional Vietnamese restaurant in her home village so that she would give employment to
the
local people who were missing out on the tourist trade and all that sort of stuff. And basically installed these beautiful traditional Vietnamese houses, like ancient houses they'd call them, 100-year-old, 200-year-old.
I bought 11 houses.
And reclaimed wasteland and rubbish land into this basically traditional kind of compound, with the lotus pond and bridges and all this sort of beautiful stuff. There's some good photos if you go back through some of Aan Chut Chut's posts. There's some good photographs of that particular restaurant now, which she still owns but is in someone else's care at the moment. They're leasing it and all that stuff. So anyway, she did that and popularized, if you might say, that concept of a traditional Vietnamese restaurant in Vietnam. So She's probably too modest to say it, but you know, there's that when you there was a trend in Vietnam. There is a trend now. If you go to Saigon or Hanoi, where you'll go to a traditional Vietnamese restaurant, right, where they serve old-fashioned Vietnamese food.
The cup
that wasn't popular before Yen did it in Da Trang. You know, what was trendy was foreign food and fast food and all this sort of stuff, and obviously faux restaurants and all that sort of stuff, but not what Yen decided to do, you know.
Mm.
So that was an innovation in and of itself and a very, very successful restaurant. But then she decided, you know, I've done that now. I'm going to do something else. Yeah. So she built a new restaurant that was vegan. So to focus on her Buddhist philosophies, and created a vegan restaurant which did similar things. It was traditional Vietnamese but totally vegan. And that was also successful. So she's brought that, as she said, she didn't cook, but she's brought that whole innovative approach and that idea that you create a space, which is what we think Anchuk does, is a space that feels like you're coming home, you know. It's that traditional but not caring too much about what's popular, not trying to be popular, not trying to serve food that people might expect from a Vietnamese restaurant.
Well, that's exactly what Anchuk Chut does, and that's and I think that that's why people love it so much. I've been to Vietnam and I've been to plenty of Vietnamese restaurants in Australia, but I literally have not eaten anything like the food you serve at Anchuk Chut. Never. It's and so can you give me an explanation as to how your food is different to what people in Australia especially consider Vietnamese food? What are some of the ingredients that you use, and what's the style of food? Because, you know, when you order a traditional menu at Anchuk Chut, it's a diverse collection of different types of flavors and textures and things like that. All very, very new, like unfamiliar but delicious.
Actually, I think when I cook, I want to cook for my family. For example, if today I will cook like that, if no one eat, I will bring for my family eat. So that's my feeling. So it depends on the day hot or cold I will cook for my feeling. Yeah, actually, I still want to cook more different things, but maybe I will try now to busy.
So what she means by that is that the whole intent is to just to cook things that she would want to eat and that she would want to feed her family, right? So quite often, she's trying to bring new things into the menu, but dare I say Westerners, let's just say customers want to have what they ate yesterday that they liked, you know. They don't want to try something new. So if it was totally up to Yen, you wouldn't get the same meal twice in a row. You know, we joke about a friend of ours came over for dinner and we had soup, you know, which is traditional. And he said, wow, you know, this is amazing. You know, I've never had this one before. How many soups can you cook? And Yen went, oh, more than 100. And, you know, we kind of laughed. He scoffed at her and went, oh, yeah, sure. You know, how could you possibly have 100? Because there's no menu. There's no recipe. It's just what Yen cooks, right? So for the next maybe 20 nights, because we have soup most nights, not every night, but most nights, Yen would cook a different soup and I would photograph it and message him going, you know, soup number, you know, for 20 days in a row, it was a different soup, because that's the way she cooks. And that's the way she would like to prepare food for Anchuk Chut. But unfortunately, well,
it's run out.
Yeah, or not people just don't choose that one, you know. So she'll put something new on the menu, but people won't choose it. because they want to go with it.
Now they choose.
Now they're choosing it. So that's changing.
Almost run out. And
so that is changing now. People are being more adventurous.
Trust me. Trust me. So almost on dinner, today I have to buy the kebab.
Yeah, I got a kebab for dinner. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Right? There it is in the background behind you.
Because everyone's eating all the food.
Oh, we run out. So someday I come home and no food for this guy. So I don't know sometimes. And then I have to burn egg with the fish sauce. But lucky me, my husband, he really easy going. He can eat rice with egg and fish sauce easy.
Yeah, nice. That's good. Fantastic. And tell me about, I think that one thing that people, when they first go to Anchutchut or even first hear about it, is that you are only open for lunches on weekdays. And tell us about that sort of, that decision to not open on weekends. I mean, hospitality is a tough industry and a lot of businesses try everything they can to make as much money as they can. What's that decision? What was the basis of that sort of choice?
The first when we begin, so I try to work every day to earn money enough for renting. But then after that, when we settle, so I think I have spent 2 days for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So just 5 days for Anchutchut and just only lunch. That's enough.
So we got 4 children between us.
Yeah.
And I work weekdays. Mm-hmm. So it was that. We did work Sundays initially, but I'm pretty bossy as well as Yen. We're both bossy. So we decided that maybe it was better that we didn't work together too much.
Yeah. That's the main rule. Never work together with your wife or your husband if you want your family still in happy. Serious.
So we did try the Sunday. I've always thought that the Sunday would be a great, you know, like a good business day. Didn't actually turn out that way. It might now if we did it again, but there was a certain point there where the Sundays weren't that popular. And we were fighting all the time because I'd be, you know, the bossy one and she wants to be the boss.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So. I wish that you used to come to our show on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. I'd definitely come on Sundays if it was open. I know a lot of people who would.
I was the waiter on the Sundays.
I think I might have been there on a Sunday and been served by you once, actually, Dan.
Anyway, it was good, but, you know, for us, the business is not about the profit per se, you know. It's about job satisfaction, family life, being able to coexist with it. So that's why we don't open in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just trying to, I mean, the location suits itself for the lunch as well.
It's a beautiful location. I think that it's such a unique place that a standard cafe might not have worked at. It just seems to fit so well with what you're doing at Anchutchut. Yeah.
And the evenings are tricky because it's dark and not necessarily a welcoming place to be in the nighttime. So we have done, and we would like to continue to do when this COVID thing is gone. We've done private parties in the evening, and that's the way we've opened up, you know, so basically a group booking to have private parties and then we stay open at night time or we open on a weekend if people book. But that way we know what it is. We can cook a set meal plan sort of thing. It just works for everybody that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we open randomly during the week night, it's a bit hit and miss as to where the customers come. So that's fundamentally it.
I'll ask a few more things and we'll sort of wrap up. I want to ask a little bit about the food, Yen. Can you tell me a bit more about why it's important for you to have a lot of vegan options on the menu?
Because I want Ang Chuk Chuk to be a vegan restaurant, be honest. But because I just do lunch, so if I do only vegan, I not enough people to come. But because my religion Buddhist.
Mm.
So so I would love to eat vegan more than meat. But
the meat's too popular.
Yeah, it's too popular. Yeah. And I have a question about your stock that you use for your fur. How do you get so much flavor into a vegan fur stock? Because it's got so much beautiful flavor that it's really hard to find in a lot of stocks that don't have meat. Is there any secrets you can give me?
That not secret, because I think I have lot of vegetable like cabbage, celery,
roasted onions,
green watermelon,
melons, all sorts of different things,
radish,
I think the secret is that Yen doesn't create food to a price point. So even though it's relatively inexpensive, the ingredients are generous and high quality. Again, because it's not that we're chasing profit, whereas most businesses would essentially.
Yeah.
It's packed full of stuff. All the meals are, and there's no sort of compromise on making sure that meal is as tasty as it can be.
Mm.
But we also know that you can only sell it for a certain price because people don't want to spend $30 on a soup for lunch. But, that's probably basically it.
That makes sense. Yeah, for sure. And how have you found getting suppliers and accessing some of the ingredients that you may have been used to using in Vietnam? Have you been able to find all the ingredients that you need? Is there things that you can't find?
No, you can find everything in Cap Ramana.
Okay.
Yeah, almost all the stuff we bought in Cap Ramana.
So do you go to Cap Ramana to buy it? Buy every week? Okay.
Yeah.
And in the morning, this girl happy go to the market every morning. We buy some fresh vegetable like in Fairy Meadow.
Leisure Coast, yeah.
And Dong Phu grocery in Wollongong.
Yeah, the little Vietnamese grocery in Wollongong is pretty good. Yeah.
Which one's that one?
Dong Phung, it's opposite Balinese Spice Magic.
Ah, yep. I've been to that one, yeah. Nice.
So that's a Vietnamese-owned little store. And they're pretty good, but for the volume of particularly green vegetables, we need to go to Cap Ramada because it's too expensive to buy it locally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, they're good for a stopgap, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Holes.
Yeah.
But also the specialty items. For example, the faux herbs themselves, which goes into the meat and the vegetarian one, that we get made up in Nha Trang.
Yeah.
From the blender, you know, the spice blender.
Yeah. Yeah.
In her local town, and we bring it back when
50 kilos hops.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 50 kilos. Is that dried herbs?
Yeah.
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 But dried fish, seaweed. Fish cake, a lot of things we bring whenever we visit Yen's home.
Mm.
We take nothing with us, and we bring actually we take a lot with us as well. We take all of the Australian stuff that the family and, you know, the extended family want over there, like, you know, frozen beef and salmon and, you know, Tim Tams or whatever.
Yeah.
distribute that, and then we come back with all the Vietnamese stuff, and we've got, you know, cupboards and freezers full of local Nut Trang produce that we keep here.
Fantastic. Yen just had a sip of her drink then, and I just want to ask about the drinks that you do at Chup Chup, because they're so beautiful. Okay. They're so beautiful. They're amazing. And they're always different, and you can't find drinks like you have there. Tell us about the drinks a little bit. Are they traditional Vietnamese drinks?
With the coffee and also the salted lime, salted kombucha is a traditional drinks, but with the strawberry and all the drink is not traditional, but like when I make it, I taste it. If I feel, oh, it's so yum, and I'll bring it to the customer, but if it's too yucky, I'll make another one.
Okay.
Great. I will plan, we'll make some new.
And our plan is like we're going to release some new drinks and lots of
fantastic
new food and drinks. You should come.
I will. Yeah. So, just as we finish off, what is the sort of plan? Obviously, COVID's here, and it's something that you guys are dealing with. But you know, once things are open again, and you're back to full capacity, and we're not restricted, is there anything different you wanna do with Unchut Chut? Is there anything you have in mind for in the future?
Not really. I think, you know, obviously it's probably just still maturing as a business. You know, being able to pay Yen and Sue wages, which, you know, to be honest, prior to JobKeeper coming in, wasn't always achievable. So most of the time Yen works for free and she pays her staff essentially. Because there's not enough money in the business to pay herself. So while, you know, we eat pretty well as a family, probably because of Unchup Chup, essentially it's not a money earner. So maturing the business to the point where she can pay herself would be pretty helpful. And we're probably getting there now. But probably just making it a business that can be sustainable. It's you could say, we'll just open longer hours. That's an easy solution. You only open for lunch.
Yeah.
But the energy and effort that goes into preparing and dishing, you know, just for the lunch session is physically pretty intimidating, and not many people that I know would handle it at all, let alone to do it for virtually no financial return. So, it's not really an option just to extend the hours because it's physically impossible.
Fantastic. Well, I think that we're very lucky to have a business like yours here in Wollongong. And I think that, I mean, a lot of people know about it in Wollongong, but I think that it's one of those businesses that if you had a critic from the City Morning Herald come, they would be just as amazed as everyone else is at the quality of what you guys do and the obvious passion and love that you put into the food that you serve, because it's so unique, it's so delicious, and it's such a great atmosphere, like you mentioned, Dan. So I think we're really, really lucky to have it. And thank you for doing what you're doing. It's great.
One of the things I think I'll just throw all this in at the end.
Sure, throw it in.
But one of the things that I think Yen gets out of the business is the joy that people have when they eat there. And one of the things she's most proud of when she comes home at night is when there's a lot of chefs from Wollongong who come and eat at Unchup Chup. They don't start usually till probably the afternoon for preparing for dinner. And some of our most regular customers are actually chefs from some of Wollongong's leading restaurants, so that makes her really excited, and that's really what she's trying to do, is make people happy, and it's her connection into this community. You know, she's obviously a migrant and you know, she knows more people in Wollongong than I do, and I've lived here for 30 years.
Everyone lovely. Everyone. I love everyone. So lovely, so friendly.
So that's a reward that we've got, that she's got out of Anchup Chup, is this connection to the community by making people happy with what she's doing. But I'd also throw in, just so you know, Chup Chup, it's spelt.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced Chup Chup as if it was a P.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And it means, if you don't know, eat a little.
Right. Great. I was going to ask. That was going to be my last question.
So, An can also be An can also be interpreted as peace.
Yeah.
So it means eat, but it can also be interpreted as peace, as in, you know, love and peace. And chup chup means a little, but it's also an expression that Vietnamese people use for
like the sound of kiss.
Kiss.
Sound of a kiss. Yeah, right. Amazing.
So it's got this dual meaning. So
yeah, that's great. That's,
for your info,
that's perfect.
Call it chut chut, but it's really chup chup.
Chup chup. Yeah. Okay. I won't make the mistake again. Yen, is there anything that you want to tell me to finish off?
I don't know. I feel lucky because now I have so many people, so many friends support me. Because every day now, like everyone come. So I will try to make more different. And then when they come, they keep exploring me, not just the old one. I want everyone come and enjoy my space as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes we're so crazy busy, so we stop. Not really quick.
That's so, okay.
Yeah, but I will try to do more quickly.
So we're trying to grow the staff as much as we can without sending ourselves broke, so that the food can come a little bit quicker, because it's a problem because everyone wants to be fed at the same time. So the good days are the days where people spread it out a little bit, and the quality improves on those occasions as well. So, yeah, in an ideal world, you know, lunch would extend for 3 or 4 hours, but in Western culture, lunch is for an hour, essentially. Everyone wants to have the same lunch hour.
But I have one secret I want to give for all of you. If you want to have the good.
Oh, don't tell him. He's gonna write this up.
just only him.
Okay.
Oh, just for me? Okay.
Yeah, like a present. Don't get him to write it.
I won't write it.
If you want to get really good food, you should.
Fantastic. All right. Sounds like a plan. All right, we'll leave it there. That's perfect. Thank you so much for talking to me. This conversation's fantastic to have, and it's so good because I love your food, and it's I mean, I work in the food world as well, but it's fascinating to get to know you and understand what you guys do. So thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Okay.
See you later.
See you.
Bye bye. Hello, dear listeners. Steph here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Food Fight. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at The Food Fight Podcast on Instagram or thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and we want to talk to you. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps. If you want to hit me up, it's quicksandfood.com or at quicksandfood on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch with Simon, it's Simon_Evans_TBD on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you again with another episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.